Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Zero Emissions Corsa E with a range of up to 337 kilometres, it's simply electric.
Donegal has become the second county to be moved to level 3 COVID restrictions. It now has the highest rate of COVID-19 in the country, with 42 of the 324 new cases of COVID-19 notified to the Department of Health yesterday coming from there. We have plenty of people to speak to who this affects directly, and the first of those is Cathal Doherty from the Ballyliffin Town House Hotel. Cathal, good morning to you. You didn't have a great night.
Claire, good morning. No, I had a very sleepless night again. We're back to square one, I suppose, here in Donegal. We understand the decision that was reached last night and we respect it. And naturally, if it helps to keep one person from an ICU ward or save a life, then naturally it's all worth it. We all have to work together to get this virus under control.
And the cancellation started yesterday once the news broke.
It was hard to believe how fast it came in when the news outlets started putting through, I suppose, social media. We actually had, yesterday, even before 7pm, we actually had 5,000 euro of cancellations, and that's in reservations only. That doesn't count food or beverage sales. It's just incredible to a small business.
Yeah, and you had a lot of food in, obviously, for the weekend, right?
I suppose that's the problem. I mean, naturally, we're all gutted here, but I mean, I suppose we had hoped for better notice. We knew the figures weren't right, but we had hoped for better notice. I think we had hoped that the government had learned from the lessons in Kildare and Dublin, that announcing it at such short notice, which it seemed to be very unclear last night, was it Thursday night or Friday night? But we knew the numbers weren't right. We were preparing for it. Stock, we weren't going to order stock, but we had no choice yesterday evening. We had a full house of residents this weekend. So we put in all our orders yesterday evening. They had to be in before 5pm. I think the government should be aware of this at this stage. So there will be deliveries coming today of drink, fresh food, you name it, but it's not going to get used. It's going to be seriously damaging to our trade.
Yeah, you're bringing in staff though, aren't you? Are you open tonight? You're probably serving food up to closing time tonight, right?
Look, we are. The chefs contacted me last night to see what to do. And to be honest with you, I just put out a group chat and I said I wanted the staff to come on. It's basically about seeing what we can do with the food. How much waste is it going to be? I don't think we'll be that too busy tonight. We're actually just down to one room staying tonight now. They've all cancelled except one, and I've no doubt that that room's going to cancel now shortly. But look, the chefs are on, and what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to organise our kitchen and see. Look, I'll say we'll start making donations to the local care centres and stuff like that there and just try to get the food out as best we can.
Okay.
And just look, it's another hat after another hat.
And Cathal, this affects your whole family.
Do you know, last March when the first announcement was made, that day myself, my wife and my three kids were unemployed. The five of us work in the hotel. It's a very small hotel. And to get news like that there, it really rocks you. Naturally, there's a responsibility to our staff and our suppliers. They all have to be paid. But from a family point of view, from a small business like ourselves, it's actually treacherous.
And you have a daughter in college and she's coming back to work this weekend.
Emer is in Galway College. She just started this year for the first time. We left her down on Tuesday and she was in the bus yesterday evening home. She has a part-time job in the hotel. We have to get her through college the best we can, and she travelled up this weekend to work, and now there is no work for her, and I won't have work for her. And in Donegal, there is no work. I mean, it's mainly the tourism industry that the whole county depends on. And I mean, as I say, this is a blow for the tourism industry, surely, but it's a blow for the county as a whole. And even for my daughter, is she supposed to go back to college on Monday morning? I'm not sure, actually. I think, to be honest, I find the guidelines very unclear and very confusing this time.
Mm, you feel that the advice will be not to leave the county. Well, we know that is the advice,
yeah,
you know, not to go back.
Yeah, it is advice in the same, except for education. But look, my daughter is now living in the campus and she's living in an apartment with 16 girls from around all different parts of the country. I mean, are we to take this very serious and not let my daughter go back to college? Or are we to send her back to education as is recommended?
What do you think is going on in Donegal? What happened?
I can tell you from the tourism industry, we're doing everything right here. Our job is to look after people, and that we are certainly doing. I think it is looking very much like it is starting in the homes and spreading to other families. I think, as Dr. Glenn last night and our tissue has clearly stated, that is the issue. And I'm wondering myself, is the government making the right approaches? Surely we're all in it together and we want to get these numbers down. We're on level 3. We don't want to be on it. But should we be tackling off sales as well? I mean, if they feel that there's an issue there with drink going into the homes and gatherings, and naturally when we close, it is going to drive people back into the home again. So should we be making a tighter level 3, killing the off sales, but making a shorter level 3? I mean, there is a lot of jobs at stake here. And you know, we're trying to do our best on what we have, but I think maybe we need to go a little bit tighter if that's what the problems are.
So close the off licences.
Look, I'm not saying close off licences. I'll not be popular for that, but I think that they're skirting around it. It appears to be that they are blaming alcohol in some shape or form. I'm not saying it's causing it, but they're saying it's house gatherings, and it's not happening in our establishments because we are operating as only a maximum of six at a table. And I really feel that off sales need to be looked at, and I think they know that themselves, but I don't know if they're brave enough to make that move or not.
Now, you obviously went through this in March, like every other hospitality operator in the country. Now you're back there again. I mean, how does the rest of the year look like to you if you are allowed to reopen again in a couple of weeks' time?
Well, we have an initial spend of €15,000 getting the building ready, and we were happy to do so because all we wanted to do was get opened again. We had a fantastic summer, thanks to the Wild Atlantic Way. There's no question about it. We had a lot of people here for the first time to Donegal. But the question is, how do we build on that when we're closed again? For a head, it doesn't look good. Will we be closed 3 weeks? Will we be closed 5 weeks? And four times we have the bank holiday. Speaking to other businesses last night and this morning on the phone, there's a feeling there that a lot of us might decide that that's it now. We may hold off to next March, April. It's very hard to build yourself up again from this, and it's mentally sore. And you can do all the packages you want, but when you're on the borderline of closing every couple of months, the yo-yo effect, but sooner or later that strain's going to break.
Yeah, Carl, there's another more personal impact of all of this on you, because you were supposed to see your dad, weren't you, who's in a residential care home?
My father's in a residential care home, and thankfully, everything's good there. But I decided not. They did allow visitors again from July, August on, but I decided, I spoke to my family, I decided that I won't go on because I was the only one who was dealing in the public the whole time. So about a week ago, I stepped back from the hotel and I worked in the office, and I was getting ready to see my father for the first time, and I got my appointment, and my appointment is today for 2:30. So I think that's not going to happen now, and I was so much looking forward to seeing him. But look, we are where we are, and it's maybe a price that we all have to pay, but maybe it's a price that's going to be worth it at the end. But yeah, it's a very sore day today, to be honest with you.
I'm sure it is. I mean, that's incredibly difficult that you haven't seen him since March, and today was the day.
No, I had the choice to see him, but I chose not to see him because there's more than my father naturally in the home, and both myself working in the public, and thankfully we had a good summer with people from every end of the country. You don't know who you're talking to, so you have to think of others, and I had to put other people first, and it's been really difficult not seeing him. I have been lucky enough to see him a few times on FaceTime, but it's not the same, and he is getting old, and maybe he's getting a little bit forgetful. So, look, it's hard. It's a hard one to take, to be honest with you.
And you say there that, you know, you had a good summer. That changed, I would imagine, when the restrictions came in Dublin. Did people start cancelling then at that point a couple of weeks ago, last week?
Dublin is so important to us. I know that's where the main population is, but there were so many people who were making that journey. Donegal's not as far as they thought it was, and they did make that journey. And when the restrictions came in Dublin, it was frightening to see the cancellations we got. I would say it was approximately 30% overnight. It was just incredible. And we were trying to rebuild from that. And I suppose our nearest neighbours as well is Northern Ireland. There's a lot of issues in there, and we're trying to get them out, and we're faced with that. Maybe differences in there. So there's a lot. We have a lot going against us here in the county where we're geographically placed. But Dublin has a serious impact on us.
Well, Cathal, we wish you well. It's not easy. It's really, and we're getting a lot of text messages in support of you and wishing you well. So I hope you take some heart from those. Thank you for talking to us this morning. Cathal Doherty from the Ballyliffin Townhouse Hotel. Carol Meenan is co-owner of the Yellow Pepper restaurant in Letterkenny. Carol, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good. Well, we're just a little bit nervous and shocked from yesterday, exactly what Cathal was saying. We didn't think it was going to come that quickly, even though we knew it was coming, and you were watching and listening. But I think to get that shock yesterday evening, it was just really upsetting for me and our staff and the customers who have booked for the weekend.
Can you keep going? Can you operate without side seating?
Not really, no. I have a small outside area upstairs and we're right on the main street with probably just 1.5 metres of footpath and with, you know, accessibility rules, and that's been very much highlighted this week too with it being Accessibility Week. I don't think we could do it. And obviously with the weather, I don't think anybody is. You might stand out and have a pint, but you're not going to stand out and have your dinner on the main street, you know, almost in October.
You did takeaways, didn't you, earlier in the year? So will you go back to that?
Yeah, well, certainly we're going to do it for this weekend anyway, and we're going in to have a meeting today with all the staff and see where we stand and what we've done. We were, no more than keeping our levels of stock low this last couple of weeks, just on a day-to-day basis, and we get a lot of it comes from our own garden, so we were, you know, just minding that. And so we just said, let's do it slowly, take it day by day. And we've been really kind of just been really listening and watching and paying attention.
And how do you feel about the decision to move Donegal to level three?
Well, we've had a really good summer, and you know, we've been saying even ourselves, the staff last weekend. I employed 30 people, and we're really busy. We're doing over 100 covers every night. And we've had not one case of anything or a case even in the outer circles of our staff or family. No calls to the restroom for contact tracing. And we're just thinking, isn't this great? We think we have it in control. And then you're just wondering, where is this coming from? Because if people are doing the right thing, which we were, we have a big space. We've done all the rules and all the sanitising and keeping everybody safe. And customers have been fantastic. You know, they've been on their side, understanding and being really respectful of everything that we do.
Well, Carol, will you stay with me? Because I have a Lifford-based GP, Dr. Martin Coyne, on the line now. And Dr. Coyne, you know, I think, where it's coming from, don't you? You understand why this decision was taken and why the cases are rising.
Yeah, just to give you some background, Claire, from March until September, the 10th of this year, we had 17 COVID cases in a practice of 9,500 patients. And between the 10th and the 24th of September, a two-week period with 54, which was, you know, a huge and shocking jump for us. We were getting an awful lot of phone calls of people looking for testing. When we talked to our patients, certainly in the initial start of this surge, there were a number of large social gatherings locally, not in a hotel setting, not in a restaurant setting, but in home settings. And they seem to have been the culprits in this particular instance.
Okay, and that leads us to the point where people like Carol and Cathal are having to close their doors tonight.
Yeah. You know, level three has certain restrictions in it, but those restrictions are not going to work unless they're enforced. And they have to be enforced, and there have to be penalties for people who just choose to ignore the restrictions.
And what are the types of social events that you have identified where the problems have been happening?
Widespread, after a football match, two birthday parties, a communion. There was also sadly a wake. We had just let our guard down. People are probably doing that all over the summer and thinking, well, you know, everything is fine. But all it takes is just one person to get into a situation like that, and all of a sudden we've got lots of contacts and the R number's gone crazy.
And how sick are the people you have been treating?
We're fortunate in that nobody has ended up in hospital out of the 54 positives. 32 of them are under the age of 35, so that bodes well for them. But some people are quite miserably sick at home and, you know, very unwell with the virus. We have 7 patients over the age of 60 who are doing fine, which is, we're very lucky that way. But listen, you know, if we keep testing this particular scenario, we're going to get a very sick patient. We're going to get a sick patient in ICU. We're going to get people dying. And then, you know, We can now trace, this is not like March or April, we can now actually trace the virus quite well. So for people out there who don't believe in restricting themselves, for people out there who don't believe that this applies to them, that I'm going to get a mild disease, I'd say this. You are going to take this virus back to your home. You're going to take it back to somebody in your family who's vulnerable. You're going to put that person into an ICU bed and possibly kill them. And how clever are you going to be then when that happens?
Yeah, we're getting a huge reaction to this, Martin. Somebody saying here, the people of Donegal who socialised in homes and went drinking in pubs across the border should be made listen to these business owners. Why should off licences be closed? Personal responsibility is the name of the game. And that seems to tally with what you've just said.
I agree. You know, this is not a blame game, Claire. You know, we all let our guards down. I was not perfect over the summer. You know, but we've been caught out now. So it's time for us to change our behaviour now, not to look back and blame those that may have spread the virus in our community, but to look ahead and let's all start behaving ourselves.
Yeah, Carol, this one for you. We need to ask the hospitality industry in Donegal, where are their customers coming from? This listener has family living in Donegal, renting out on Airbnb, and lots of people are coming from Dublin and Kildare. This is how we spread this. We need to acknowledge that we are the carriers of this pandemic. What do you say to that?
Yeah, for the first time, I think I have had customers from all over the country and all summer, people who have never been to Donegal, and Letterkenny is a fantastic place to, you know, to stop over and to visit the whole place. And they've loved Donegal. I've never had so many compliments about the fantastic place that we have here, the beaches, the towns, the restaurants, the bars. They've all enjoyed it. And they've never been here before. And I think if anything good has come out of it, they will come back when we get this in control, that they see that Donegal can be the new Kerry.
And do you think that will happen?
That's the only thing I can think of.
Do you think that people will listen now in Donegal?
Oh, I think so. Everybody wants to do the right thing and get this, you know, as they say, the shoulder to the wheel and get this pandemic under control for everybody. We all want to help each other. That's what we do.
How big a problem, Dr. Coyne, if I can come back to you, is the border in all of this? I know that the acting CMO here and his equivalent in Northern Ireland are going to issue a statement on this later on. They're having discussions about reducing travel between Donegal and Northern Ireland, but that's a difficult one to do, isn't it?
The virus doesn't recognise the border. The virus, there's an awful lot of movement either way through the border. So, you know, Derry is not to blame for Donegal's problem and nor is Donegal to blame for Derry's problem. The only issue that we would have on the ground is that although there is contact tracing, we're told, between north and south. So let's say one of my patients has been in the north and, you know, mixing and gathering over there. It is really important that contact tracing doesn't recognise the border either. Now, our experience on the ground is that that's not as thorough as it is if you're not crossing the border, if you understand what I mean.
Okay. And then, Carol, to come back to you, I mean, you say you're meeting your staff. You've got 30 staff in total. I mean, I don't want to preempt any conversation you're going to have with them, but clearly, because you can't open in the way that you were during the week, you're not going to need all those staff in the next 3 weeks, are you?
No, certainly not. We intend to open for takeout for certain for the weekend, and you know, then we'll just have to work out what we have. I know people have holidays to take, and perhaps that's an option initially. And it would be nice if we had a bit of clarity around the COVID payment and how quickly that people can get back on those. Mm-hmm. We have no support at the moment because we had a really good July and August, and into September. So I am not getting any support at the moment. So I don't know. I'll need to get advice on that now, but I presume we can and be able to hand that properly and clearly over to the staff.
Okay, Carol, we'll let you go. I know you've got lots to deal with there today. Carol Meenan, who's co-owner of the Yellow Pepper restaurant in Letterkenny. Dr. Coyne, how many people are going over and back, you know, across the border? You mentioned that that is an issue when it comes to contact tracing. I mean, I'm not expecting you to give me figures, but it is very common that people would go either for educational purposes or work purposes over and back across the border a couple of times a day.
Ah, yeah. I mean, Lifford and Strabane are basically, you know, twin towns. The bridge in Lifford is a very busy place. Kids from Donegal go to school in Strabane. People from the north come to work in the businesses in Lifford and in Letterkenny in particular. So you won't be able to block Lifford Bridge.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the flu vaccine, we've had a number of GPs contacting us saying they've had very little supply in. What about yourself?
We've nothing yet. We should get some deliveries of small amounts next week. You know, that is going to be a big task, and we're working out how we're going to do it. It's going to have to be a socially distanced clinics. We'd probably work into the evening times and that sort of thing to do it. I mean, we will get supplies. It'd be nice to be, you know, it's not ideal getting a whole pile of flu vaccines now that we're in the middle of a flare-up. But, you know, we need to get the flu vaccines in.
How is testing there?
Testing is excellent. We often get same-day testing. I've sent two already this morning, and I would expect them to be tested this evening. And I will have results by tomorrow.
So you've two suspected cases in this morning and it's 20 past 10, 25 past 10.
That's just me. I'm working with five other doctors in the practice.
Okay. And if testing is good, how is contact tracing?
So contact tracing goes over to public health. That's not particularly our job. So the patients are informed that they're positive, they're given the advice. We'll actually follow that up ourselves to ensure that they've been informed. Often, a lot of what's happening to us, Claire, is that patients who know their contacts are contacting us themselves because public health hasn't got onto them. Maybe public health just hasn't got as far as them. So we are going ahead and getting them tested.
Probably not strictly following the rules, is it?
It actually isn't, Claire. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a public health issue. But public health get overwhelmed in these situations. And, you know, every GP in the Finn Valley area is looking at their screens. I'm looking at my screen now, query COVID test, query COVID test. And we're trying to get to those patients as quickly as possible. Public health just doesn't have the capacity to do that. I mean, there are 25 GPs working in the Finn Valley area, and I don't know how many there are working in public health in this particular problem in Donegal. But, you know, it's shoulders to the wheel here, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel I better let you get back to that screen now and deal with
thank
those
you.
Queries that are coming in. Yeah. Dr. Martin Coyne, thank you for joining us. Noel Cunningham is Donegal Person of the Year and Ambassador for Harvey's Point Hotel. Good morning to you, Noel.
Good morning, Claire, and good morning to your listeners.
And it's a very difficult day for Donegal as a whole today, isn't it?
You know, forgive me, I'm actually quite emotional listening to those people. It's so dreadfully sad because hotels, restaurants, the virus itself, they're things, they're inanimate, they're not real, yet there are real people here that are impacted so badly. You know, there are students, you heard your first contributor talk about his daughter coming home from college. Since early, late spring, we haven't been able to offer a day's work to the many students who depended on us at Harvey's Point because the work isn't there. You have staff members who are now worried, you know, having fallen behind with their mortgage, will they now be out of work? Will they now get into even deeper trouble? You have brides and grooms all over Donegal today having accepted that they couldn't have the wedding of their dreams and settled for a wedding of, you know, 45 odd people. Now they're faced with the reality in October that they won't even be able to have those numbers. You have people wondering, when I bury my father or my mother or my sister or my brother in a few days' time, who will be able to come now to the funeral? It's just such a sad day in Donegal. Words couldn't describe it. And truly, it's not a time for blame. The answer does not lie with telling the off licenses that they must close. The answer lies with me and you in the way we conduct ourselves, the way we behave. It's time to shut the door of our homes to everybody except our close family members. It's time to stop the house parties. It's time to say, you know, it's not okay to just sort of pop into the neighbours or go to the pub having been to a football match. It's time to just face the reality. If we don't batten down the hatches, if we don't accept that personal responsibility, we're already thinking of writing off Halloween, that bank holiday. Let's aim for some sort of a Christmas that we can look forward to. And then not to mention the mental health of not just the middle-aged or the 30-year-olds or the 20-year-olds, the young people. I mean, our young people have been incredible. They have, by and large, behaved impeccably all over the country since March. They're, you know, they haven't been out sort of partying. It's those small numbers of people, and I'm not even saying they're doing it on purpose. They think some or other that it's all right now. We're over the worst, my goodness.
We know that people feel safer when they're going to someone's house and they feel, well, if it's a relation's house or a friend's house, I'll
Absolutely.
Be safe. But of course, that, as we know, is not the truth. Noel, I'm going to leave it there. It's been lovely to talk to you. Noel Cunningham there, Ambassador for Harvey's Point Hotel.